Politics. My name is Uwade, and today we'll have an interesting guest on the show who is going to tell us about the business from a financial perspective. He's been in this business for a while, and it's a name you've heard so often, and I'm sure when he introduces himself and talks about the business, you get to know more about him. Just come.
Thanks for having me on, Wade. Hello, everyone. My name is Jay Alabraba. I am the co-founder and director of business development for Paga.
So, Jay, welcome to Business Alpha. You've told us about yourself. You've told us about your company, Paga. One of the big things I've always wondered is, why did you start Paga? What was the inspiration behind Paga?
Sure. So Paga, we've been in existence for over 10 years. Actually, last year, we celebrated our 10-year anniversary. The inception of the business, actually, we should attribute to my partner, Tayo Viosu, who's Paga CEO. The way he describes it anyway is that it stemmed from his frustration having to carry cash to make payments. If you recall, call it the 2007, 2008, 2009 period, going into the market or going to a restaurant, you have dinner. The amount of cash that you have to actually hold to make payments, you know, is pretty frustrating. You have to have a small bag with you actually to carry cash. POS penetration was limited. Other electronic payment options were not really available. And he asked himself, you know, isn't there a better way to do this? And I'll say everything just sort of trickled from there. We got together and started to plan different designs for services and going beyond payments. So today, going beyond payments today, Paga, of course, is focused on not only solving the payments problem for both individuals and businesses, but also focused on delivering high-quality financial services to the mass market. Those are the two major problems that we're focused on.
Okay, that's fantastic. So, Paga, what kind of solutions do you provide aside from the payment platforms for customers, and where are you currently?
Sure, let me elaborate on that point. So on the payment side, we're focused on, as you probably called, you know, a bunch of commoditized services around paying bills, transferring money to any phone number or bank account, buying airtime, etc. And I mean, those are foundational services, but then we have a ton of merchants and a ton of partners that we do these things for. So solving that payments problem for allowing you, for example, why they want to send money to Jay, either on his phone or his bank account, you know, you simply just have the Paga app on your phone, or you use USSD to make this transfer to pay your bill, be it your DSTV bill, your, you know, Echo electricity bill, whatever it is, from the comfort of your home, you pick up the app or again, use USSD and simply make that transaction, make that payment. I should note that also on the payment side, we've built a very substantial agent network that will actually support customers who may not want to run the transaction by themselves. They're able to walk up to this agent point, which is a service location in their community, and make the payment or do the transfer at the agent location right there. We also as far as digital financial services that we provide, again, as I mentioned before, there's the payments aspect and there's also the digital financial services. Here we're talking about a market, again, being Nigeria, where, you know, in excess of 40 plus, maybe 50 plus percent people don't have access to basic banking services. On our platform, Paga, where today we have over 14 million users, people are able to access services either brought directly by Paga or in support with our partners, be they banks or other financial institutions. People are able to access various financial services. And many of these you're going to see more about as time progresses. Think about loans, think about insurance, think about stuff around credit. And the point here is that we're looking for ways, and we continue to look for ways to bring value to the customer, because that's ultimately how we create value for the business as well.
Now, looking at the business today, quite a number of new players are coming into the business. Where do you see competition, and how do you think competition is going to drive you to provide better services for the financial sector?
Yeah, the last part of your comment really resonates with me. Competition is good. It validates that there is some kind of value, valuable business to be built in that particular arena, but also forces you to stay on your toes, right, to make sure that you're bringing the best service to the customer and actually, you know, bringing quality to their lives as well. And that's the way we think about it. There's always been competition. You know, you and I had a brief conversation earlier where we talked about how banks or other players in the market may be overlapping with PAGA in certain areas. And I admitted, yes, there are things that we do that other players, other financial services players do. But the fact is, with many of those same names, there's even more collaboration going on. Today, for example, pretty much all the meetings I have after this show are with banks. You know, we're working on things, we're collaborating with banks. They support us in some ways. We also support them. For example, this conversation around agency banking, right? Banks typically in Nigeria have bank branches, which are large, which are expensive to run, expensive to build. Working with PAGA and our agent network of over 24,000 agents across the country, banks actually now have service points pretty much in every community in Nigeria where their customers can come to receive their banking services. And our bank partners see great value in this as well. So there's competition, but there's also co-opetition, which is what we tend to focus more on.
You know, starting a business takes a lot, so much money, especially when you have to think about things that relate to the financial sector. How did you start off? Where did you get the funding? How did you manage to grow so much in terms of getting financing? Is it just you and your partner that put the monies down? And how did you structure your financing as you went on to get to where you are today?
Yeah, the story is very typical. So in the early days, of course, it's just, you know, a few people sitting around a table with an idea, with a plan, and having to figure out how do you build this thing. In the early days, yes, exactly what you described, right? We brought money out of our pockets to fund the basic aspects of the business. But then very, very soon after, raised a seed round where friends and family contributed, et cetera. And it's been off the races from there. With those initial funds, we were able to do a proof of concept, you know, start to build the foundational aspects of PAGA. I should note that we actually started to build these things, including deploying servers and building the software, even before we got the license from the central bank. So there was this really strong belief that motivated us. And I think it's carried through in our engagement with investors since then. At this point, we've raised a few rounds. We're very fortunate to have fantastic investors on PAGA. Some you would know, Aletheia Capital, which represents Goodwill, and they're based in Nigeria, is an investor at Level Capital. We also have folks like Acumen Fund, Omidyar Network, as investors on PAGA. So we're very fortunate to have great investors who have invested in multiple rounds. And as we look forward to the future, the conversations with other potential partners and investors are very exciting. We see a great future for the business.
What would you say is the future of mobile money? Because there was this huge expectation, you know, when the thing was launched back in 2011, 2012 or so in Nigeria. And every industry stakeholders felt maybe it would go the way M-Pesa went, you know, but it hasn't. Why, you know, and is there still a strong need for it, you know, or are we just going to pivot into something else entirely?
Interesting question. I think let me take the last part of your question first. I think certainly there continues to be a great need. As long as you cannot be certain that there's everybody in the country is reachable based on the existing financial services platforms, there is a need to consider alternative options, right? But I also go back to the beginning to say perhaps the term mobile money or mobile payments is maybe limiting in that people take the term literally, right? Yeah, what we're trying to do is solve payments for, you know, the broad market. And each country will evolve differently. You mentioned, you know, Kenya and reference to M-Pesa. That's a market that had its own unique set of issues and the sort of payment ecosystem evolved in a way that supported it. We won't go into the depths of the regulatory issues that exist there. I think probably that's a whole different show.
Yeah.
But what happened there is quite unlikely to happen here. I would say basically for one major reason, and there are multiple others, but I'll raise one major reason, is that we have a fairly robust banking system here. Nigerian banks are pretty advanced in technology. Nigerian banks are pretty effective in supporting, you know, exchange of value between parties, and they are a lot more robust and a lot more known than it has ever been in a market like Kenya or even Ghana. So Nigeria is definitely evolving in a different way, and I think we're yet to see exactly how it will all shake out. But you can be certain that there's rules for each player to play, and no one, you know, I'll say industry or business type has the market fully captured. There's opportunity, and there's going to be continued innovation that leads us to new solutions for customers. Ultimately, if we're adding value to the customer's life, I think there's potential for any business here.
Let me piggyback off that. I mean, there's potential for any opportunities for people here. So several people listening, our audience listening, somebody's saying, well, how can I get into this space? I know that there are different tiers. So you have your agents, and you have your super agents, you have your aggregators, and, you know, I guess at some point you have the platform owners as well, which you play in as a platform owner, and you're also playing at the level of, I think, aggregator as well.
Sure.
So where are the opportunities for people, you know? And then there's the merchant side on the other side, on the other side of the divide, as well as the users, the end users themselves. So where are the opportunities? I mean, if you were to highlight maybe 1, 2, 3 opportunities. You mentioned you had 24,000 agents in your network.
Yeah.
So how are those agents, are they earning an income from being on your network, you know?
Yeah, of course. I mean, agents are, and what you described is, you know, largely the, let's even call it the offline sort of, you know, aspects of the business, right? The agent network, the aggregators that sort of, you know, amass certain agents and sort of guide them within a particular region. But that's only one aspect of the business. I think I would actually say that there is great opportunity for any interested party to play a role there. Agents do earn fantastic income. We just completed, I think it was last month, we had a summit with some of our larger agents, and there are agents there that are earning in the tens of millions of naira in revenue in a year, which is fantastic, right? Some agents have gone from a small shop in one place to actually having built 2 or 3 locations that are dedicated as PAGA locations. It's a fantastic business to be in. Opportunities for merchants as well. Of course, they're getting value as far as being able to get paid on a PAGA platform. But I also want to turn attention to, and this is not speaking about PAGA specifically, you do find that a lot of startups out there are focused on the fintech space. There are a lot of other problems that startups are out there trying to solve related to fintech. In some cases, it may be opportunities to collaborate with larger institutions like PAGA or a bank or something of that sort. But even on the software side, as far as building apps, you see some players step in to do this. A word of caution, though, is that it is a pretty capital-intensive business, depending on the way you approach it. But to scale, you will need to fund this business. And in a market like Nigeria, where it can be tough to raise capital at certain times, I think it's important for the founders or the entrepreneurs to actually think through where exactly they're adding great value for the customer. And is this something that is sustainable either by itself or with investor funds?
Oh, okay. One question. I think we'll be going on a short break. Yeah. So you recently acquired an Ethiopian technology firm. I'm not sure, is the word acquire appropriate? Because I know they've been working with you from inception.
Yeah.
You know, so you want to tell us about that and why you chose an Ethiopian firm as opposed to a Nigerian firm?
Sure. This is a fairly, I'll say, controversial, minimally controversial, but so controversial discussion. So yeah, you're referring to our acquisition of the company Apposit that's based in Ethiopia.
Yeah.
And you're right, Apposit is an entity that we've worked with since pretty much the start of PAGA. The Apposit team had been where our development team, our software development team, was housed. And it was coincidental that our CTO, Eric Chijoke, was also a part of that institution, Apposit, and they were based in Addis Ababa. Eric, of course, as you know, is a Nigerian person. And I wouldn't say it was necessarily, there was a choice between Nigeria or Ethiopia. I think we should also be broadening our view of the world and think, you know, Africa-wide or even more globally.
So do you want to call it what now? You're expanding your tentacles and going to,
as far as expansion, we should talk about it. But let me conclude on this opposite point. So it's a company that we know very well. It's an organization where we've had a development team that is dedicated to PAGA, has been based in that office for several years. But it was a conversation around, you know, because Apposit had other businesses that are running very successfully in Ethiopia and a few other locations. So the acquisition is something we're very excited about. There are some new products that are brought in-house as well that we will be bringing to the Nigerian market from our Apposit partnership as well. But on expansion, I mean, obviously, we do not think of Paga as limited by geography at all. Our mandate is global. What we're building is an emerging markets focused payments company. And currently we're expanding formally with this acquisition as well into Ethiopia as well, and also Mexico. And this is something that has been part of our mandate and our vision since.
I think we'll go on a break now and come back and talk a bit about that. I'm interested in the Mexico part.
Awesome.
Are we good?
Yesterday.
Show me the meaning of being lonely.
Today.
Welcome back to Business Hour, brought to you by Nairametrics.
Yeah. This is still Taiwo. Thanks, Ode. And we're still here with Jay from Paga Tech. The name Paga sounds sexier. So Paga Tech sounds geeky. So, but
we prefer you all Paga.
Paga, yeah. So just Paga, like they say.
That's right.
So we just got off now when you're talking about your expansion to Ethiopia, which is natural based on your acquisition of Apposit, and also to Mexico. Now, I'm wondering why you're going across the Atlantic, you know, to Mexico. What are the opportunities you see there, and what kind of products do you hope to be able to launch in that market?
Sure. Let's start with the comment that what we've built at Paga is a very robust platform. I think we'll stand up to any other, you know, software platform around payments anywhere else in the world. It's multi-currency, it's multilingual. And I would say probably from like year three, after we started to get into the press, we've had companies and in different markets reaching out to us and say, you know, we love what you guys are doing with Paga. We'd love to see it launch in our market. But it hasn't been something that we initially jumped on. Our mandate, again, has been, you know, global vision. But what one thing we try to do, and this is about selection of where we invest resources, because, again, we are not only, yes, we're generating some revenue, but we also get support from our investors as well. There is a plan for this business to scale properly, right? To scale and to actually have impact even in bigger markets, in more markets around the world. So we focus on large markets with large populations where the challenges that we have tackled, you know, I would say somewhat successfully in Nigeria, around, you know, getting more people included in financial system, simplifying payments or delivery of services to customers. We look for large markets where these problems also exist, where our platform could be a tool for helping solve these problems. Ethiopia, as you know, a very populous country, similar challenges to what we have in Nigeria, probably in a different degree in certain areas, but very similar. And interestingly, and even for me, this was a learning point, Mexico is another place where you have this, right? A large unbanked population, challenges even moving value from one party to another across, you know, across state lines or whatever it is. And we saw an opportunity there to work with partners to actually deliver these services there. The specific set of services that we would launch in any of these markets, I'm not at liberty to speak about right now. However, these are things that will be relevant to the market. It's not about cookie cutter of taking what we have in Nigeria and planting over there. But the platform, as I said, greatly flexible and already designed to operate in other markets. So we're ready to go.
A huge part of success for any business is its people. So how have you been able to do that and manage the people that you have with you? And like, what's your staff strength currently?
Yes, our staff strength today is we have just over 500 people at Paga across different offices. You know, this is a business I started with, you know, two or three people sitting around a table. Everybody is, you know, dabbling and trying to get things working. So we're really proud of the team that we built. And it's a very passionate crew of people who believe in the vision and are sort of pushing to achieve these, you know, goals that we've set for ourselves. Finding talent, I would say, has been one of the larger challenges that we face in pretty much in any place that we go to. Not only because, again, there are many other, for the best talent, there's a lot of other companies that are also trying to access them. But also, I'll say for certain skill sets, the educational system locally has not really, you know, supported that growth. And to the extent that we can, we want to be part of the solution as far as like helping to build, you know, people that can fill those roles locally and also, you know, support new companies or other industries as they grow up in Nigeria.
You mentioned something about talent, and one thing I know about talent is talent these days is very, very mobile. You know, you build the talent, and with the influx of so many new service providers, how do you think you can ensure that you keep your talent? Because talent is really important to growing the business and taking it long term.
Yeah, and I think this is an area. It's a great question. It's an area where we continue to, you know, we try to continue to improve. We have a very, very strong HR team that I would say, you know, is very conscious about, you know, climate in the organization. A, around selection, we have to do. We're doing a lot better job of selecting people that will fit into the Parker culture and also buy into the vision to drive. Because ultimately, you know, the best employees are those that will not require supervision on a micro level, right? You want people that actually can take initiative and push their agendas. But I'll say, you know, it's about really making Parker a place where people want to work. And this is something that we take as a very, very important point. In our weekly, we have weekly leadership meetings. This is always a top level agenda item to say, what are the challenges that our employees are facing? Could it be, you know, this new issue around banning of Okadas, you know, people are having
mobility and stuff.
Mobility, something that basically mobility, something around like, you know, salaries, you know, is inflation eating so heavily into salaries that people are not able to live, you know, making sure that we're doing regular salary benchmarking so that people are paid properly. But also ensuring that there's no reason why anyone will leave Parker, anyone that we want to keep at Parker will leave Parker because they don't feel that they're welcome or they're growing, etc. It's a challenge, but it's something that we continue to invest in and we focus on very heavily.
So your industry is largely typified by the volume of transactions, you know, and most times, especially, let's even talk broadly now, because you've corrected us that you're in the payment space, not necessarily mobile.
Yeah, not solely.
Not solely mobile in that sense. And so you have other solutions that don't necessarily have to do with mobile, but essentially just creating a platform where people can have options for payments, you know, in that sense there. But you're largely, most of the numbers we get are largely around the revenues in terms of a volume of transactions, you know. I know you guys there was a milestone you crossed sometime last year that you talked about, you know, but in terms of profitability, you know, how does that trickle down? And I'm not asking you to come and reveal any national secret here or, you know, but because it's some people worry about it and say, look, people talk about all these huge volumes of transaction. But what does it come down to? You know, I met somebody.
Bottom line.
Yeah, the bottom line. You know, I met somebody and they said, look, they did about a billion or so last year in volume of transaction. But when I heard the profits, I'm like, sure. You know.
I mean, look, I'm sure on your show you have conversations with other entities that may go into more depth about, you know, maybe perhaps their financials. But let's look at it this way. Our business grows based on the volume and value of transactions that we run, right? Let's put it simply, volume and value of transactions that we run. Volume being the count of transactions, value being the amount of Naira that flows through. And these are important metrics to track. Each of these transactions should be profitable on a unit basis as well, right? And it may be a very, very tiny amount, very, very tiny amount, but it is profitable. We're not losing on that particular transaction. So on that core basis, and I think, you know, if you're talking to any credible business, you should expect that on average is happening. But it does not mean that the business is necessarily every single one of those kobos or nairas turns to the profit line, right? Because there's going to be investment. There's investment if you plan to scale this business or scale your business. You have to hire more people, probably set up more offices, buy more equipment or develop more software. These are all expenses that have to be incurred. I don't know if there was a specific question for Pagam, so I'm just going
to
speak.
No, it was just really to highlight but what I hear you say is that, look, it's more long-term. You have long-term view of this.
You have to have a long-term view. Take, for example, even, you know, if we're supporting, you know, funding, you know, expansion within Nigeria even, right? Setting up more offices or releasing more products where we have to market. Those things are expenses you have to incur up front to go through. But again, if you have that vision to grow the business, then you will spend those funds and your investors will also understand because ultimately the returns will come. And I think that's the game we're playing. We're playing a long game. There's short-term you know, impacts of, you know, all this noise around, you know, are fintechs going to kill banks, or, you know, banks are suppressing fintechs. And after some time, if you notice, lately that noise has sort of stopped, right? People realize that.
Yeah, because I think people like the sensationalism, you know, we like the underdog syndrome, you know, wanting to say, look, these guys are underdogs and they're doing something fantastic. And these other guys have been here and so on and so forth. Then, if I were to put you on the spot now, who do you think would win the battle?
I don't even think there's a battle. I think anyone that looks seriously at this system will realize that it is being sensationalistic, and that ultimately the corporation is where the value is. The banks see this. The banks that we spend time with see this. The fintech industry sees this as well. And ultimately, if you're playing this long game, you realize that, yeah, you know, have beers around the noise, etc. But ultimately, go back and just do your work, because everybody has a role to play. And the market is extremely big and needs all of us.
One question for me, before I hand over to Wade, is so a lot of the things you said here really come down to things like value creation, you know, so obviously you're meeting certain needs, and that's why you're able to still remain in business. That's why you're able to gain the trust of your investors, and obviously your expansion in itself there. Are you at any point going into the lending space? Because that's another area where a lot of people are moving towards now. I know right now your payments. So there is a sister vertical, which is the lending space, and then another vertical, which is the deposits space in itself there. Where do we
hope? Potential areas to All those things are on the table. Our license with the central bank today does not permit lending. It's something that we're actively exploring with partners as well, and staying engaged with the central bank. But it's definitely an area of interest, and it's one that we do want to deliver value in as well, right? Both for our customers, for our agents, and the merchants that work with us. So lending, certainly in the future, you'll be hearing more about this from Paula.
And for me, this will be the last question, but it'll be a two-pronged question. The first one is, where do you see Paga in the next 10 years? And then considering the fact you spoke about people as being the mainstay of any organization, what are the plans in terms of succession towards ensuring in the next 10 years Paga still remains relevant?
Sure. First of all, let's say, you know, we have launched Paga in Nigeria, and it's, you know, again, we continue to grow here. Our international expansion is a great area of focus for us, but we have extreme pride in the idea that this is a platform, is a product that was built in Africa by Africans and is being propagated to the rest of the world. So in 10 years, I expect that Paga is a household name worldwide. You're going to hear, you know, the American,
probably Nigerian,
American president, the Queen of England will be using Paga as well. That's the kind of world that we want to create. You know, Paga is everywhere, and people know Paga and respect and value the things that we bring. I mean, the sort of question was around talent.
Succession.
We talked a bit about, you know, the employees at Paga and the team that we're building. Very, very passionate crew, and very, very ambitious as well. So we have no doubt that, you know, there are no gaps in our system. Over time, people are going to grow and take up roles, etc. Again, you know, the business is evolving. So you cannot say today how, you know, the structure that we will be operating with, you know, in even 5 years, call it 10 years. All we can do is just make sure that we're bringing in quality people that we know will stay and continue to build the culture that we want to build. And succession will take care of itself.
Thank you very much, Jay, for coming over to the studio this morning. I think it's been quite insightful and exciting. You're a natural. I don't think it was too much work trying to get you to move around there. This has been today's edition of Business Half Hour Partnership with Nairametrics.
Thank you very much, Lagos. Thank you for listening to Business Half Hour.